Good morning. Welcome everybody at the Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian on this really gorgeous week we're having, where people are enjoying the weather. Several announcements. You take your red pad, sign it, and pass it down. And remind you, communion is next Sunday, so I hope you can be there for that. Scripture readers, you can sign up at the back. We still need teachers for junior church. You can see B.J. Morrison or Heather Perman. Deacons will be holding a Thanksgiving food challenge, and hopefully we'll have a little more information on that. And you can read about it, the different things that they're going to be taking up, and they'll announce that they'll take up something different each week, and they're going to try to feed 30 families through that. The movie and Heavenly Harvest Fellowship on October the 26th, we'll be showing the movie God's Not Dead over next door with hot dogs and popcorn and some desserts. So I hope that you can come out for that. And starting on the 12th of October, we'll be preaching a three-week series entitled God's Not Dead. Fall Senior Adult Day, October 29th, Camp Crestville. You can see B.J. Morrison. She's going up, so she'd be glad to take some people with her, would like to take some people with her. I think that's good enough. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise is a screen song this morning. Come, now is the time to worship.
Just as you are.
Amen. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for loving each of us. We worship you because you chose to save us from our sins. Forgive us when we do not seek to be like Jesus. Forgive us when we do not love one another. Help us to be humble and kind. Show us how we can value others as we put away our vanity. Help us to rise above selfish ambition. Teach us how to serve as Jesus' disciples on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for a personal, silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join this morning with other Christians around the world as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another.
Okay, this morning we're going to be talking about being kind or being mean.
Like a bully?
Like a bully is a mean. That's right.
Or if you say good things to a bully, then he'll be a good bully.
Well, that's a tough one. I have to think about that one.
I'm thinking about it, yeah.
You think it's a yes. Okay. Do you think you're kind?
Yeah.
You do? All the time are we kind?
Yes.
All the time?
Yeah.
Really? Can you tell me when you're not kind, when you've been mean?
Sometimes I be mean at school.
You do?
She's my little sister. And sometimes we used to fight too.
what? Sometimes she would be mean, and you know what she did? She pulled my hair.
That definitely will.
That's really mean. And then you know what I would do? I'd get mean back. You know what I did to her?
What?
I scratch with my nails.
Well, you didn't do that to other people. You just say, stop it.
I should say, stop it.
Yeah. Or you should say, nothing.
Knock it off. That's what I should have said, but because I was the older and I always got in trouble because I was the older one and I should know better, right? So.
Wait, can I tell you something else?
What would you like to tell me, Aunt Hooker?
That time I broke the tin can off.
You bet. Well, what I'm trying to tell you today is sometimes it's really hard to be kind, isn't it? Sometimes, especially if somebody's being not nice or being mean.
My dad's big water, to a fence and then a cow with them.
Really? Disciples sometimes, when Jesus was talking to a big crowd of people, sometimes the disciples would make the children like go away. They didn't want them near Jesus. They thought they would be a distraction. But what Jesus said was no. Bring the children to me, because you know why? Because Jesus was kind. He was always kind, especially to the children. So what I'd like you guys to know is that someday you're going to be adults. And you might even have children someday. So the thing I want you to remember is to try the best you can to be kind and not be mean. Do you think you could do that? Yes? You forgot.
Okay, I think I need to go
back. One second. All right, what I want you to do is sit and pray with me for 1 second, and then I'm going to give you something. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for these very innocent children who come to us today, and all the adults who are out here as well. Help us all to be kind and loving and respectful to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now what I'd like you to do is take a walk for yourself and take some and give them to somebody you don't know out there. Take as many as you can hold, but you keep one. And these are rocks I found in the ocean.
And why did they have me?
Well, I wrote those on them. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Our responsive reading, 685, Christian Conduct, 685 in the hymnals. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God.
Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth.
For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
On account of these, the wrath of God is coming.
In these you once walked, when you lived in them.
But now put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouth.
Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices and have put on the new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. This time I ask the elder and the door to come forward with a prayer request and praise.
I have a prayer request from Kathy Sagi. She's having some tests done tomorrow for a procedure, and she has prayers that all goes well and that the doctors are able to find some answers. And I have two praise requests, one for Marianne Fronholtz. She has an aggressive type of cancer, but the chemo is destroying the cancer. And one for Pat Koss. Her cancer is in remission, and she thanks everyone for prayers.
I have one I didn't write down. There's a young woman who is related in our family whose name is Delaney, and she just discovered Christianity. And she comes from a very Christian family, but she always doubted and rejected it. But so help on her path that she may truly receive it.
Amen.
I'd like to add, make sure we pray for Diane Kosher-Hook, who had surgery at Shadyside, knee replacement on her left knee, and Jenny Reinhart. I got an email from her this morning. Her daughter Amy, who has MS, has been taken to Presbyterian Hospital. So let's remember her. She's having some heart troubles along with the MS, and Jenny's over there now. So her daughter, Amy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, and we are reminded once again this is the day that you have made. And help us once again to rejoice in it, to find a sense of joy, because we have a relationship with you. But that doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to good people. It's a part of life to go through the struggles. We may not like them, but if we can hold on to you, we can come out on the other side deeper and richer and closer to you. Help us to do that. And as a congregation of Christ here at Glenshaw Valley, we lift up all these persons who've been mentioned and listed in our Valley newsletter and our bulletin, and all of us who may have prayer requests that we've not spoken out. We all need help. And you've told us where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. And we invite your presence to be with us this day, to strengthen us, to help us, to guide us, to lead us. And we lift all these names, knowing that you hear and that you already see, but it reminds us of who you are, our Heavenly Father. Thank you for every good and kind thing you do for us. And help us to live our lives to be more like Jesus. We do need your strength, the power of the Holy Spirit, the written word, and the fellowship with one another. And Lord, thank you for this beautiful prayer you left us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is another screen song, two today, Knowing You. Son and Holy Spirit in our lives to guide us, to lead us, to encourage us. Encourage your church, Lord, and help us to reach out to one another and encourage each other to use the talents and the gifts that we have for your glory. Thank you for giving us an opportunity, Lord, to serve you and to serve your church, one another, and our community. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is from a letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians from prison. Paul always held the Philippians in his heart as very special. And so he's writing them to encourage them to continue in their ways of walking with Christ. Now, in researching the background of this scripture, I found an interesting thing that I'd like to pass on. Verses 6 through 11 are really in the form of a hymn that was sung in the early church. Thank you, Mickey, for your work. So please listen to your own personal message as I read Philippians 2, 1 through 13. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tendencies in compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. The being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do everything without grumbling. Therefore, my friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his purpose. Bless the reading and our hearing of the scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Sorry, writing was a little washed out this morning. The makers of a perfume called Virtue claim that if you wear their perfume, you will smell exactly like Jesus smelled 2,000 years ago. I'm not making this up. Using the Bible as a guide of what kind of plants were used in the perfumes in the Holy Land, they came up, a company called IBI, a blend of apricot, a dash of frankincense, and myrrh, the last two being the gifts that were given to Jesus as a baby by the wise men. Obviously, this is absurd, but it does lead us to a much more profound thought by the writer Max Lucado, who I enjoy. At the beginning of his book, Just Like Jesus, Lucado makes a statement which I believe is quite important. God loves us just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. Sometimes I suspect that we modern people only hear the first part of that. God loves you just the way you are, and we don't want to go any further. That suits us just fine because we don't have to work on our lives or change. We want God to accept us just as we are and then leave us alone. After all, it's uncomfortable to change. It's uncomfortable to work on our own lives. And as long as God loves us just the way we are, we've got it made. Going to heaven, we don't have to worry about anything. But I suspect Max is closer to the truth. And I believe this is the whole gospel. God loves you just the way that you are, but God desires to change each and every one of us to be more like Jesus. Because we are his representatives upon this earth. This is St. Paul's message to the church at Philippi. Paul is encouraging the church to live in harmony, to live in humility, following the example of Christ. He's saying to them, I want you to be more like Jesus. Humble yourselves as he humbled himself as a servant. He became a servant. He says, have the same love. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value each other above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but the interests of others. Not an easy thing to do at all. Note that St. Paul's words are directed to the church. This is what characterizes a healthy church. We humble ourselves and we serve one another and we seek to serve our community. Reverend Fred Craddock tells about visiting a church one weekend where he was going to have a revival. He was going to preach on Friday evening, Saturday evening, and then again on Sunday morning. People were moving to their automobiles because a funeral, when he drove up, was just concluding. The hearse was still there, and the minister saw the preacher, and then he recognized him and motioned for Fred Craddock to come on over. Craddock didn't want to intrude on this. He didn't know the lady or the people. He was just waiting until the funeral was over. And there he was, standing next to the widow. The pastor introduced her to Craddock. And then Craddock felt rather awkward, like, you know, he had walked into a situation where he didn't really belong. So he said to her, this is no time for you to be meeting strangers. I'm sorry, and I'm sorry about your loss. See, her husband had just been killed in a car wreck and left her and four children alone. He said, I know this is a very difficult time for you. She said, it is, so I won't be at the service tonight, but I'll be there tomorrow night, and I'll be there Sunday morning. Like any sensible and caring person, Craddock said, oh no, you don't need to do that. Don't come out for me. She said, yes, I do, I need to be there. He said, well, what I meant was, I know it's a very hard time for you. And she said, I know it's hard. It's already hard. But you see, this is my church. And this church is going to help me and my children to get through this difficult time in our lives. That's the way the church always should function. That's the kind of church that I hope Glenshaw Valley is trying to be and are, but still trying to do better. I like something that Ronald Nicholson once wrote. He said, what is the quickest way to identify a city? We know a lot of cities like Paris. You think of Paris, you think of the Eiffel Tower. You think of Rome, you think of the Colosseum. You think of London, you probably think of Big Ben. And in Moscow, the Kremlin. Other cities are famous not for what they have as statues or great art, but for what they might do, what happens there. Los Angeles has movies. Cannes has its annual film festival. New Orleans has the Mardi Gras. And all kind of towns, you know, go around small towns, they'll be having apple butter festivals or strawberry festivals or watermelon festival, all kind of different things that their little town might be known for. My little town in Bishopville, a farming town, has a thing about cotton every year. That was so important. Then Nicholson asks this question, so what is it that identifies the Christian community, the ecclesia from the Greek, or the church? What is the landmarks that make us recognizable to the world? So they say, that's the church. Those are Christians. It's our loyalty to Christ, first of all. But it's more than that. Jesus himself said this, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Therefore, the identifying mark of a church should be its love and devotion to Christ. I think that's a beautiful statement of what the church is meant to be. Have the same love, says Paul. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others' interests above your own. A healthy church is a church where people look out and try to protect and help one another. Simon and Garfunkel had a song back in the early 70s that became a classic, like a bridge over troubled water. Some of you remember the lyrics. When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side. When times get rough and friends just can't be found, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. That's how we should be in the church. And there's an interesting phrase that has entered our common vernacular, our common talk, everyday language in recent years. I've got your back. If someone says to you, especially in a difficult situation, I've got your back, it means that they will be there to protect you and to look out for you and help you when you are in a time of trouble. One little application occurs in the movie, in a football, according to Michael Lewis' book from a few years ago, The Blind Side, which I saw that movie with Sandra Bullock in it, and the young man, Orr. Lewis explains the importance of these essential offensive linemen, who this man was, and that they, he says in his book, the most important is the quarterback, but he says the second most important person is the offensive left tackle. According to Lewis, since most quarterbacks are right-handed, the left tackle's main job and responsibility is to keep that quarterback from being blindsided. In other words, most quarterbacks are right-handed. They're kind of looking this way. Left tackle comes around this way. You've seen it on football many times. Quarterback doesn't even see him, and bam, they hit it, maybe a fumble, or can get hurt. Michael Orr became outstanding left tackle for the NFL's Baltimore Ravens. According to Lewis, since most quarterbacks are right-handed, you need somebody like Orr, somebody that's 300 pounds, somebody that's quick on their feet, someone that has the talent. Left tackles must weigh more than 300 pounds, enormous strength, quick on their feet to make it to that level. And today, teams are willing to pay a very high price. Well, you didn't see linemen making all that much money years ago. The running backs, the quarterbacks, the tight ends, whoever made the money. They just signed a contract for $13 million. Now, that's not close to what the quarterback got, but still shows the importance. Now, the testimony of Scripture is that God always has our back and that we should always have each other's back, looking out for one another. On the Simon and Garfunkel analogy, God is our bridge over troubled waters, and we are to seek to be bridges for one another. This is the meaning of Christian community and how God judges, I think, churches. Glenshaw Valley may not be the largest church, not the richest church. We cannot give an extraordinary amount to missions. But Hopefully we are there looking out for one another, helping one another. We have each other's backs, and that will help us to be an extraordinary church that people are attracted to, and we can point them to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is how the leadership of the church ought to work. We take turns doing the hard tasks. We respect and protect each other's unique arrangement of skills, capabilities, talents, and resources. We need to make sure our talk is positive and encouraging. In churches where there is encouragement, production is always greater. A church family is to study the life of Jesus, says Paul, and have the same love, being in the same spirit, being of the same mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value each other above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Can you imagine what our church and all churches would be like if we really took things like this literally and seriously? We often say, the church is the body of Christ. That doesn't mean that we cover ourselves on a special perfume so we can smell like Jesus, but it means we ought to be like Jesus, act like Jesus, and we should serve like Jesus. This means that the church ought to be willing to lay down its life in order to fulfill its mission. Think this through for a few moments. Did you know that it is not our job to protect the church? Our task is not about survival. Our task should always be about service. Some churches get to the crossroad in the church's life and a bold move of faith is called for, but they shrink back. They're too worried just about survival. Out of fear, they think that they must protect the church at all costs. But what if God has this attitude at his own body? Thank God, literally, Jesus did not have that attitude. Listen to the rest of Paul's words again. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. This is God becoming man to serve us. And in being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue confess on heaven and earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. To live like Jesus is to love and serve one another and to lay down one's life for the world. Our mission is twofold: love one another and then love those we have been called to bring into relationship with Jesus Christ, the world for which Christ gave his very life. Years ago, Chuck Swindoll told a very disturbing case that came before the courts in Massachusetts back in the 1920s. It concerned a man who was walking along a pier, and there was a rope, and he tripped over the rope, and he fell into the water. Never meant to be in the water because he could not swim. He didn't even know how to float. So he started screaming out. And his friends way down could hear him, but they could not get to him in time. But there was a man just a few feet away from him, sunbathing, who was an excellent swimmer, who turned his head and just let the man drown. Did nothing. The family of the victim was so upset, they sued the man, took him to court for extreme indifference. The result? The family lost the case. With a measure of reluctance, the court ruled that the man on the dock had no legal responsibility whatsoever to try to save the drowning man's life. No legal responsibility. There's a world of need outside the doors of this church. No one is going to bring a lawsuit against Glenshaw Valley if we don't do what Christ has called us to do. Only God will know. But really think about what that means. God will know. St. Paul was writing to the church when he said that we are to have the same mindset and attitude as Christ Jesus. Our job, as much as we want to, is not to protect the church, but as the church, to love one another and to be willing to go outside of our doors and to try to touch the community, those in need, in every way that we possibly can. Being willing to lay down our life for those who are outside our doors. Love one another. Love for the world. This is what it means to live like Jesus. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn of response, Majesty 74.
Just want to remind you once again, communion next Sunday. I want to look forward to a special time in the life of our church. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, may you go thinking about your relationship with Jesus and asking yourself, am I like Jesus? Am I trying to move in my life towards being like Jesus? Am I doing what I can in prayer and Bible study and fellowship? And then go out into the world and take the name of Jesus with you. There's a lost and a dying world out there that need Christ in their lives now. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.